It's time for JT the Brick.
Make me a shirt that says, the Denver Broncos have never beat the Las Vegas Raiders. We're 8-0 against them. We've been blowing out the donkeys 8 in a row. I repeat, 8 in a row, 4 seasons of firing their coaches. They got fired, Nathaniel Hackett, because they lost to the Raiders. By the way, that's true. They can't handle losing to the Raiders. You can't beat the Raiders, you're fired. And that goes for you, Sean Payton.
JT the Brick.
I'll say this now, and you can clip it and put it on another show. The Las Vegas Raiders need to win 3 out of 4 games combined against the Chargers and Denver. Does that make sense? The second best roster is the Raiders. By a long shot over Denver, I'm fighting off the donkey fans that think they have the greatest coach. Sean Payton sat on that couch for a year. Must have had 1 lunch and 2 dinners, and now everybody in the Fox lot's a fan of Sean Payton. The Denver Broncos have never beat the Las Vegas Raiders. By the way, that's true.
And now.
And that goes for you, Sean Payton.
Here's JT the Brick.
We're back. Hour number 2 of the show brought to you by Boyd Gaming. Locals, locals, local. Mr. Boyd and all his proud properties here, proud partner of the show. When you head into a Boyd Gaming property, you'll see Raider imaging all over the property because they are proud partners with the Silver and Black. I'm excited. I'm heading to Costa Mesa. We're going to be there. I do that Monday night show every night, Monday night at Wynn, Vegas, so I got to be back every Monday. But I'm going to be in Costa Mesa from Tuesday through Saturdays for 2 weeks and then another half a week in August. Before we head out to Minneapolis, well, I'll be on the broadcast doing the play-by-play on radio as Jason Horowitz goes to TV in the preseason, which is fantastic. Jason's great on radio and TV, and I get a chance to do play-by-play with Eric Allen and Lincoln Kennedy. So I got to see these numbers, man. I got to get out and see these plays, unless every play I call is going to be to Brock Bowers. You know, Bobby, I will call the first ever radio call of a Brock Bowers touchdown, I hope, in the preseason, or a catch. Just like I called the first ever XFL touchdown with He Hate Me. Remember that back in the day? That was a milestone there. So I'm excited about that. The schedule is very interesting because the Raiders are going to have 2 open practices at Allegiant Stadium. And that was announced. So if you're a season ticket holder, please, you know, fill out that request. If you got it in your email, look for that again and try to get out there. I'll be involved with that. We're going to be doing a lot on the field. Excited. So very excited. And then we're going to see what happens out in Costa Mesa because our show, which is noon to 2 Pacific time, 3 to 5 Eastern, practice ends right at noon. So when I start the show, we should be able to get coaches and players and at least get some of the sound from the podium and all that. And then at 2 o'clock, Bobby, I'll have my golf clubs or do a little studying, a little homework with EA, and then head down to Newport Beach or to Balboa Island and cool off. Today isn't as bad. I was up early today as we've been talking about this weather here. And today it's only 114. But here's the key. As I came out of breakfast this morning, I looked up over the convention center. I was down in that part of town, and it was weird. It looked like, you know, kind of looked like monsoony weather out here. So I thought, yeah, it's only going to be 114 today. That's not bad. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. It's going to get warmer. 117 will be the high at 3 p.m. today. So stay hydrated. And, Bobby, you've been doing pretty good with this. I mean, you're here a lot. You live in this building here. You like to step outside for a dart every once in a while. How hot is it for you who's been out? You've been in Vegas as long as me, right?
About a year longer, 95.
95. Where would you compare this heat?
It's rough.
If
you're not used to it and you're not prepared, if you're not hydrated, it's going to be rough. But, you know, I got to tell you, I was out walking the dog at 6:30 this morning. It was cloudy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was nice. It wasn't bad at all.
Yeah, well, it's good. We want everybody and their pets to live the best life they can with all this. So hour number 1 of the show, I got shut out. I didn't get 1 phone call on the Denver game. Not 1. I thought that would be a good topic today. I thought it was. I know it was. But, again, I think people are either on vacation, sleeping, or well, you want to talk about the backup corner for the Running Rebel football team, and you want to talk about Raiders on Raiders Radio. I went back to the archives, and we picked up a game that I thought was really important, 2002, and the Denver game where the Raiders had a win. They lost 4 in a row, and they were going into the AFC West opponent, and they won. And if they didn't win that game, I don't think that they go on to the Super Bowl, and that's another AFC championship. And for me, I take that personally. I mean that because I got an AFC championship ring, which is nicer than the Buccaneers Super Bowl ring. Fact, not fiction. Cost thousands of dollars more because Mr. Davis was much more generous than Mr. Glazer with his jewelry. And that could have been a Super Bowl ring for me. And I had my name on it on the side, JT, and had voted on to get a ring, worked my tail off that year, and it could have been a Super Bowl ring. So I know 2002 because I was right there on the door of being a broadcaster, one of the broadcasters on a Super Bowl team, and they came up short. But as we look back at that season, there were multiple games that get into the honorable mention, and we got another one here.
We now present the Raiders' top 10 games of all time.
And the Raiders have won the Super Bowl championship. They are the world champs.
The history of the Raiders.
He is going to get inside the bar. Touchdown!
The games that helped make the Raiders one of the most recognized franchises in NFL history.
Just win, baby.
The Raiders' top 10 games of all time begins now. Honorable mention.
All right, so we go to December 2nd, 2002, only 3 weeks after the Monday Night Football game with Al Michaels and John Madden on the call. Tim Brown gets his 1,000th career reception in a 26-20 win against the Jets at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. The Raiders beating the Jets also on Monday Night Football. The crowd was 62,000. 257. The Raiders took the lead on the first possession. 23-yarder from Sebastian Janikowski. Another field goal gave the Raiders a 6-0 lead. Midway through the second quarter, New York rallied to take a 7-6 lead late in the half there on a 6-yard touchdown pass from Chad Pennington to Gerald Soule. Following a Shane Leckler punt, the Jets moved 11 yards to the Oakland 17. John Hall kicked a 36-yard field goal, and that pushed the Jets' lead to 10-6 there after the half. Now, this game was a close game, and everyone was on the edge because of Tim Brown and what was going to happen in this game. Everyone knew in the entire city of Oakland that a milestone was in play. The Raiders took the opening kick of the second half, mounted a 7-play, 76-yard drive, capped off by a 26-yard touchdown from Rich Gannon to who? Jerry Rice. On the previous play, Tim caught the 1,000th pass of his career, a 6-yard completion from Rich Gannon. Brown caught 1,000 on a 6-yard curl route across the middle of the field with 11:22 left in the third quarter. They had a mini ceremony. Dead serious. I've never seen it before. They literally had a ceremony there. A mini ceremony took place on the field, complete with a golf cart carrying Brown's wife, children, and even his mother. Mom hadn't seen the 36-year-old Timmy play in person since junior high. How about that nugget? Tim Brown catches his 1,000th ball, and his mom hasn't seen him play since junior high. That includes Notre Dame. The drive gave the Raiders a 13-10 lead they would never relinquish. They increased their lead to 20-10 late in the third quarter. Zach Crockett on a 1-yard touchdown. And then the rest was pretty much history in this game. A fumble off a punt by the Jets. Janikowski followed with a 36-yard kick. His third of the game to give the Raiders a 23-13 lead midway through the fourth quarter. The Jets had a nice rally late in the game. Chad Pennington can play. He hit Wayne Krabet for a 13-yard touchdown, but Janikowski's field goal gave the Raiders the final margin of victory. Once again, Rod Woodson intercepted a pass on the game's final play to seal the victory. The Raiders, 8-4, became the first team in NFL history to ride a four-game roller coaster every which way, winning four in a row, losing four in a row, then rebounding to win four games after that. With a win, the Raiders lifted themselves into a tie with the San Diego Chargers for first place in the AFC West. Again, this was a season on the brink, I like to call it. It was a roller coaster. It went upside down in this game. We call it the Tim Brown game. Some of the highlights back in the day, I really think you're going to enjoy these. Here's Timmy on catch number 1,000.
That was a 1-yard loss, so it is a sack for Abraham. Four jet sack tonight. And over the middle, and that's Tim Brown who makes the catch, and that's 1,000 catches for Tim Brown. And they will stop the game to acknowledge a tremendous milestone.
That was a great milestone. When Tim Brown retired from the NFL, he was third on all-time receptions, and they made him wait for the Hall of Fame. I was disgusted by that. And I don't think Timmy was happy about it also, that Tim Brown had to get parked on the sideline of Canton and not be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's great to go back to this season. We're hearing these Monday night calls with John Madden and Al Michaels in the booth. Another Gannon to Jerry Rice.
They've caught 1,000 passes, and two of them are there right now.
A third down and 10. Will Gannon go to one of those guys? Yes, he will, to Jerry Rice for a touchdown.
There's Jerry Rice, and you see him starting in the end. He's going to run an end right there. And again, we're talking about putting the ball on a guy. Rich Gannon put that ball on Jerry Rice perfectly. And look at Tim Brown's reaction. I got my 1,000. Jerry Rice got his touchdown.
That is such a great soundbite, because isn't that appropriate? Timmy's the star, right? Timmy gets 1,000. His mom comes out on a golf cart, and immediately following, Rice adds another touchdown to his Hall of Fame career. Very interesting, man. I didn't know it was that close in time. Oakland special teams at the Coliseum on this punt.
Especially this running game. Garner. And that is extracted from Morton, who didn't call for the fair catch. The Raiders gather around. Marcus Knight is the guy who hit him.
Talked about the Jets losing Santana Moss as a punt returner, as a third wide receiver. Chad Morton, their kickoff returner, goes back to do the punt returning. Well, look what happened.
Every Raider says we have it, and the line judge concurs.
Yeah, I remember that game, man. Being on the sideline for that one was special. No doubt about that. And the Jets were not happy about that mini ceremony, as Fabian says on our YouTube feed. You should get on YouTube, JT the Brick YT, as we're talking about these games during the break and getting good feedback from our audience here. How about Zach Crockett? What a great Raider he was, man. This guy was just a beast. You know, we're talking about Zamir White now and how big and strong he's getting. Do you remember Zach Crockett when he was around the goal line?
Again, Crockett the tailback. Richie was the fullback. Run it again with Crockett into the end zone. So the first turnover of the game is a killer for the Jets.
Again, John Ritchie makes a heck of a lead, and you just go right in behind him. Here's John Ritchie. Here he comes right there. Boom, there's a block right there. He just gets right down below him. Crockett is a very powerful runner anyway, and the closer he gets to the goal line, the lower he gets.
That was pretty interesting here, that the Raiders, this is not, it's one of the better Raider teams of all time. It is, because of Rice and Gannon, who's an MVP, and guys like John Ritchie and Crockett. If you look back at Tyrone Wheatley and all those weren't Hall of Famers. Rice and Brown were Hall of Famers, but the Raiders, Charlie Garner, had very good players on their team, and I bring that to this team again when I'm finished, as we finish out this game. This team has got future Hall of Famers, Max Crosby, future Hall of Famer, Devontae, future Hall of Famer, but how many more? And how many other players could come together and build the team and play games like this? Sebastian Janikowski, is he a Hall of Famer? I mean, he's not a Hall of Famer at the level of Vinatieri or some of the other kickers because of the big games and Super Bowls, but in his prime, he was as good as anyone in the league.
And now Janikowski will come in. They'll let the play clock tick down, and he'll try to make it a six-point Raider lead from about the 20-yard line, which makes it a 30-yard attempt. Officially, this will be 29 yards out of a Leckler hold. Play clock all the way down. Snap it at once. A low snap, and Leckler got it down nicely. And then Janikowski will make the Jets go all the way down the field without a timeout, and 72 seconds remaining in the game.
The holder on that play, Shane Leckler, is going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame at some point. No doubt about that. And then the defense late in the game, the Tim Brown game in the Super Bowl year, the defense came to play to put this game away.
Pennington rolling out, pressured, sacked at the 45-yard line by Roderick Coleman. And the clock keeps running, and they've got to spike the ball here to get another playoff.
Listen to the crowd in Oakland there as Rod Coleman gets that sack. Good player, very good player, still around a lot, comes to a lot of alumni events. And then the icing on the cake, again, when you hear Woodson interception, is it Charles Woodson? Is it Rod Woodson? The Woodsons were pretty important that year.
So the final play of the game, barring a defensive penalty. And
Pennington is going to launch one toward the end zone, and it's picked off at the 9-yard line by Rod Woodson. Well, that's fitting.
Now, how many games did Madden Monday night games with Rod Woodson? We featured Rod Woodson, 3 interceptions today on 2 Monday night football games, the Denver games and this one to ice the game against the Jets. So that's another honorable mention. December 2nd, 2002, Tim Brown's 1,000th reception game. I know there's some listeners who are young and remember that. So if you're at that game at the Coliseum, if you were watching on TV, we got an open line for you, 702-365-9200. You know, I keep from hearing Al Michaels' voice on these play-by-plays and the short passes, it's very important. At least it is to me. That's what I'm getting out of it. Maybe you're not. And that's fine, but I think we have a bunch of quarterbacks now competing for the job, the two. And I think it's going to be very important for one of these two quarterbacks to win the battle of the short passing game. It's just my gut. It's going to have to be who can complete short first down passes the way Gannon did and then set up the defense for deep throws. I see Aiden O'Connell as, you know, a 5-step drop, 7-step drop, good protection, taking shots deeper downfield. If he can check down, he's good. I see Gardner Minshew as a player that when the pocket is breaking down, he's going to run. He's going to run and keep his head up and try to throw some short passes to Michael Mayer or Brock Bowers or Jacoby Myers or Trey Tucker coming back to the ball to do a toe tap. Very important this year that the quarterbacks play with the game plan that we saw. What we learned about this 2002 season was that Gannon was so good in the passing game that you wanted him to throw more. But the Raiders were a very solid running team in that AFC championship season. We haven't had one since. We haven't had an AFC championship game since 2002. I mean, let that sink in. It's 2024. Okay, 20-plus years, we should be playing in multiple games like this. We got to be playing the season ticket holders in the stands. The team's got to be playing in AFC championship games because the Chiefs are building a dynasty, which they are, and a legacy of being one of the greatest teams in the history of the AFC because of these AFC championship wins. In our recent lifetime, we've seen two dynasties, the Patriots and the Chiefs, and we have a really weird history with them both. A deep history with Kansas City for obvious reasons in our division. But the Tuck rule and Brady, everything that happened there. That's 6 Super Bowls and what was it, 9 AFC championship games? Because they lost the Super Bowls to Eli, remember? And so they won 9, if I'm right, Bobby will check. The Patriots won 9 AFC championship games. And Kansas City, who's just started their dynasty with their 3 AFC championship games and the Super Bowls, That's adding up. It's a big number. We're chasing those teams now. And the Raiders were clearly better than the Patriots and Kansas City for much of their existence. 702-365-9200. Feels like a podcast today, Bobby. I could have recorded this at home when I got home from Dark Star last night and just knocked out 2 hours in golf today. Let's go. Am I going to hear from anybody today? Anybody want to talk about these games? Coming up next, I got one of the greatest games of all time. And stick around for this one. Because this next game, I wanted to put it in the top 10. I really believe it belongs in the top 10. And I'm giving it an honorable mention, but I'm questioning myself as we look at one of the most important Raider games of all time. So we gave you the Rod Woodson Monday night game, the Tim Brown. And now we're going to wrap up this week's portion of the show or these games with one of the most important games in Raider history. The AFC Division Playoffs versus the Patriots, December 18th, 1976, commonly known as the Sugar Bear Hamilton game. My gut tells me I should have put it in the top 10. My gut tells me I should have had it in a 10 or 9, but the honorable mentions are strong, and there's a lot of games I just couldn't move, and this was a divisional playoff game. But the ramifications, if the Raiders would have lost this next game that I'm about to preview, I don't know what would have happened to John Madden, Ken Stabler, and the history of the franchise. When would the first Super Bowl ever come? It should have came years before the win in 1977 in January One of the biggest games in Raider history at home and one of the most important finishes in NFL history. We got it for you coming up next as we're brought to you by the DiCastroVerde Law Group. If you get into an accident or injured, 702-222-9999. The brothers win, and the brothers have your back. Built on a legacy of their father, this established law firm has some of the best lawyers in town. They know your story. They know the insurance companies in town. They're brothers, and they have the power to work within their offices to get you the service that you need. Brothers win. The DiCastroVerde Law Group. So I can't wait to get to this next game. This is a game that I've been waiting for. Because if you look back at NFL films and you hear the voice who called this game, this is going to be memorable. We go back to 1976 when we come back. The Raiders' greatest games of all time. This is a big one. Want to know where you have it slotted when we continue on the flagship of the Silver and Black.
Do you think Luke Getsy's going to utilize Devontae Adams good in the new Raiders offense?
I love Luke Getsy. He's a fantastic coach.
Awesome.
And I love Devontae. I can't wait to play with him again.
Great. Love to hear it.
Yeah.
How's your game today? How are you hitting him?
Good. Harrison's playing really well.
Is he?
He's a little shy, but just trying to get him out of his shell.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's going good.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
That was Aaron Rodgers from earlier. We played that earlier from Lake Tahoe on Devontae Adams. JT, back with you. Brought to you by The Black Hole. Go to theblackhole.com. They have membership discounts. They have memorabilia. I need everybody to get behind The Black Hole now. They're doing big, big things. They started in Oakland. As you know, my great brother, Rob Rivera, the guy who brought me into The Black Hole, who passed away unexpectedly a couple of years ago. This is his legacy. And Cisco, who's a proud partner of ours, and Mark Jones, who's running The Black Hole, and all the different groups around the country here would like you to become a member. Become a member by going to theblackhole.com. So we're going through a couple of the greatest games in Raider history. I'll get back to that momentarily. I wanted to mention soccer for a second because Vegas is a huge soccer town. You might say, why? We don't have a soccer team here. Every bleeping kid in America comes to Vegas to play in a soccer tournament. Hopefully not in 118 degrees. But I remember someone told me that years ago, the amount of club soccer teams that come to Vegas that you don't hear about, that are taking up hotel rooms and flying through the airports and spending money here, are incredible. So I root for England. And people say, why do you root for England? Because the United States stinks. We stink in soccer. Our men, they just fired the coach again because there's so much pressure to win in soccer. So England never wins, but England plays in a much better league, the Premier League. That's their soccer league that they play in. And then when they take their best players and put them on the national team, I'm more familiar with their product in England than I am La Liga. That would be Spain and Real Madrid or Dortmund or the teams that play in Germany or all those. I'm really familiar with English soccer more, so I root for them. Harry Kane scored on a penalty kick yesterday in the semifinals of the Euros. He had to make this goal. They were down 1-0 at the time he came through.
Right in front of the England fans. Kane v. Verbruggen. And Kane delivers again in Dortmund. 1-1.
Yeah, that was big. So why is it big? Because the whole entire country was watching. Not a city. Like if Kansas City's in the Super Bowl, the whole country's watching, but they're not fans. The entire city in Kansas City's watching. Well, all of England, Great Britain, were watching this game. And the English goal by Watkins to put it away was one of the best goals of the tournament.
Palmer. Ollie Watkins here.
That was a great goal there. So Fox on the big call. Now, on our side of the world, the Copa was very interesting. This was the tournament the United States was eliminated from. And the teams that went on, Uruguay and Colombia playing. And it got rough right after the game. So this is soccer. This is like a base brawl or something when baseball players go after each other. This is how it sounded at the end of the game on Fox.
I'll give you one guess who sparked this originally.
Oh, boy.
And now it's boiling over. Number nine.
So it started off there. Then the Uruguay players went into the stands and the fight started to break out. And this was an ugly moment, real ugly moment yesterday in the Copa.
Uruguayan players going into the stands and interacting, if you will, with Colombian supporters. You obviously see things being thrown, including fists and punches and beverages and garbage. And unfortunate scenes in Charlotte, that after the final whistle.
So that was there. That's courtesy of Fox on the call there. 702-365-9200 as we get back to the greatest games of all time. Now we get to a game that I believe for the diehards who are listening here, I feel like I'm only connecting with the diehards on this. This is diehard type deep Raider stuff that we're trying to educate the youngsters and the new fans to. But hopefully some people remember this game. This was December 18th, 1976, the divisional playoffs, Oakland Raiders, New England Patriots. And this is one of the most important games in Raider history because if they didn't win this game, they don't go on to win their first Super Bowl. And the game came down to a really controversial call. So the Raiders faced off against the 11-3 New England Patriots in the AFC. Remember, this is a divisional round. That year, Stabler threw for 2,737 yards, 27 touchdowns, while completing 194 of his 291 pass attempts. He had a trio of receivers who was able to connect with throughout the year. Cliff Branch caught passes worth 1,111 yards and 12 touchdowns. Dave Casper had 691 yards and 10 touchdowns. And our great friend Fred Biletnikoff, 551 yards while grabbing 7 touchdown passes that year. And it was an amazing year. It was a 58-degree Saturday afternoon. Ray Guy kicked off to New England. Jesse Phillips returned the ball to the New England 15 to set up the Patriots' opening drive. After moving the ball, and this was unbelievable, to the 24, the Patriots' drive stalled, and punter Mike Patrick punted to the Oakland 30. Neil Colsey returned it 24 yards to the New England 46. Unable to score on the opening drive, Guy, the kicker who kicked off, punted the ball out of bounds to the New England 46. Unable to score on their opening drive, when Ray Guy made that punt and it went out of bounds there, the Patriots drove in a 10-play drive and scored the first touchdown of the game. Now, this is a touchdown in Oakland in an elimination game in the playoffs. Andy Johnson ran it in from the one-yard line, making it 7-0 Patriots after the extra point. From people I talked to about that game who were there, including Raider Mort and others, the tension might have never been higher at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. The Raiders here were expected to win the Super Bowl, and they were down early. They were down early in this game. On the ensuing kickoff, the Raiders returned the ball to the Oakland 32 on the first play of the drive. Stabler to Biletnikoff for 22 yards. Clarence Davis ran for 4 yards to set up Stabler to Branch for another 17 yards. But that drive stalled on the New England 23, and the Raiders had to settle for a field goal. So as I walk you through this game, and Steve Grogan threw a touchdown pass to Russ Francis for 26 yards and a score, making it 14-10 Patriots. The Raiders needed to find a way to get back into this game. The Silver and Black would now have to play close to a perfect game. They were down 11 points with only a little more than over a quarter to go. They would have to play a fourth quarter to advance to the next round of the playoffs. Stabler to Biletnikoff for 17 yards. The Raiders began the fourth quarter on the New England 45. The Raiders started their comeback. This was one of the greatest drives and important drives in Raiders history. 11 plays, 70-yard drive. Mark Van Egan scored the Raiders' second touchdown of the game on a one-yard TD run. Stabler was perfect, 5-for-5 on that drive. 21-17. But the momentum was swinging to the Raiders at that point in the game. Another three and out. The Silver and Black start the next possession on their own 14. Unable to capitalize on the opportunity, they had a punt. Patriots got the ball back at the Oakland 48. They're right there at midfield. A 50-yard field goal attempt by John Smith. He missed low, giving the Raiders new life with only 4:12 left in the game. Two plays later, Stabler to Biletnikoff for 7 yards. Branch for 8 on consecutive plays. Stabler connected with Biletnikoff for 12 yards over the middle of the field, getting to the New England 43-yard line. 2 minutes left in the game. Raiders trailing in a must-win game. Stabler hooks up with Dave Casper for 21 yards. On the ensuing play, here it is. New England's Ray Sugar Bear Hamilton called for roughing the passer with 1:24 remaining in the game. After the Raiders had a loss of 8 on the play before, and it looked like the season would be over. Moving the ball on the Sugar Bear Hamilton late hit to the 13-yard line. On first down, Stabler to Casper for 5 yards. 46 seconds left to go, and time is running out. The Raiders lined up for a run. Banasek was stopped. No gain! No gain for Pete Banasek at home. 14 seconds left in the game on the line. Stabler took the ball into his own hands, rolled left, dove into the end zone for the game-winning 1-yard touchdown. The Patriots got the ball back with 7 seconds. But Monty Johnson intercepted a pass attempt, and the Raiders go on to win. They would end up winning the next game, the AFC Championship game against Pittsburgh, en route to their first world championship in the history of the franchise when they ended up beating the Vikings, which will be a top 10 game in Raider history. This is the Sugar Bear Hamilton game. Raider diehards know this game. Every Raider fan must learn about it. It was a defining moment in Raider history. Steve Grogan, the quarterback here, remember Dr. Death, Skip Thomas, with this first interception. Kurt Gowdy on all these calls. If you know who, if you know, you know. Kurt Gowdy on the call. The great Ken Stabler, the Snake, to his great friend Fred Biletnikoff.
Down, open on the Patriot 31. Flag is down. There's the deep one to Biletnikoff. Biletnikoff, another flag down in the end zone. Touchy blow down the top.
I can't believe it.
He hung on to it for a touchdown.
Oh, I can't believe it.
He hung on to it. The flag is dropped behind the line of scrimmage.
Kurt Gowdy saying another grab by Biletnikoff. Unbelievable. How great is that, taking you back in the memory book? Russ Francis was a hell of a player. The wars that he had with the great George Atkinson, the fights on the field, which would be physical fights going for the ball, George Atkinson's hard hits, Francis with a touchdown. Yep, that was a huge play there because they took the lead. Now, I want to stop for a second and tell you about, if you look back at NFL films of this game, the pressure for the fans. This was a legendary fan game because the fans were on their feet the entire game and the Raiders were trailing. They're supposed to go and win the Super Bowl. This is leading up to Super Bowl 11, where the Raiders lost Super Bowl 2 and a total of 5 championship games. When you think about what the Raiders have done coming this far, then getting back again, and then losing at home to New England, this could have been a deal breaker. What would have happened to the future of Madden if he didn't get over the hump and win in the following weeks at the Super Bowl? If Madden would have lost at home in a divisional game, what would Mr. Davis have done? He's very loyal to John Madden, very committed to him. Didn't want to make changes when the Raiders lost the Immaculate Deception. Of course not. They won that game. They were robbed. All the other games, the losses to Miami and Pittsburgh. And Mr. Davis stayed with John Madden because he knew he was the right coach for this team. Who doesn't love Mark Van Egan, one of the toughest Raider runners of all time?
Well, Kenny had some pretty strong knees. He could pick up inside handoff and walk around the outside, I think. Van Egan, there you go. Van Egan scores. He's not lost the ball after he went over.
All right.
And he got a great run to take it away from him. A 70-yard drive puts the Raiders back in the game.
Yep, that was a big moment here. One of the One of our viewers on YouTube, JT the Brick YT, Michael Daniel, said, and don't forget the Pats handed our asses to us in the regular season game. You're right. Arguably, the Patriots were just as good, if not the better team. But this is a play that goes down in Raider history. I want everybody to focus on this call by Kirk Gowdy. This is the Sugar Bear Hamilton late hit. And remember, they don't have the replay that they have today. But a late hit to Stabler's face mask, which if he didn't hit him late and he got to him, game's over. Raiders are eliminated at home. They don't go to the Super Bowl. Where are the Raiders as a franchise at that point in 76 until this play happens?
With just under 1 minute to play. The Saw Saber figures a deep drop, the run on it again, and it is incomplete. They're going to hear about that one. Hard line of the Patriots after the roughing the passer call.
The Raiders move on to win their first Super Bowl because of a roughing the passer call. Let that sink in. This is why we're bringing this up and putting this into an honorable mention. I had around 9 or 10. I did. I did. I thought this was worthy, and it is. It's an honorable mention. That's what we're going to debate. But I love this game. This game, to me, is one of my most important games. You know, being around the Raiders, it's a Sugar Bear Hamilton game, because think about this in a late hit. Back in the day, you could hit people late. Afterwards, it wasn't a penalty unless you hit them in the face mask, unless you hit a quarterback in the head. If Sugar Bear Hamilton just pulls up and doesn't go anywhere near the head, game's over. Raiders lose. They don't avenge their loss to the Steelers the following week. We're talking about the Steelers and the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, and maybe Super Bowl XI would have went to the Patriots or the Steelers again. So that was huge, but, you know, Ken Stabler was someone I loved, considered a great friend late in his life. We were pretty tight at the end. And I look back at this highlight of Ken Stabler. I don't think there might be any bigger ones than this when he was Mr. Clutch. This is why he's the snake.
Down to 20 seconds. Down to the wire. Up they come. 1 yard to go. They can put him out in front. And here's a rollout by Stabler.
I'll tell you, Dandy Don is pretty amazing. It sounded like he's going against the Raiders there. Really going against the Raiders again. He did sound that way. He thought that penalty would be on the Raiders. And then our good friend Monty Johnson seals the game here as the Raiders are going to live another day. That is a honorable mention game that we have. We gave you three today. So we did three games, deep dive into three great Raider games in the history of the Silver and Black, and that was the Sugar Bear Hamilton game, which was our final one today, and what that game meant, December 18th, 1976, as the Raiders win their home game in the divisional playoffs on the road to the Super Bowl, their first Super Bowl. Raiders 66, I have a feeling you were waiting for a game like that right in your wheelhouse. Go ahead.
Boy, you aren't kidding, JT. That brings back so many memories, and you're right. That was a very important game, and it could have been in the top 10 and probably should have been. And, you know, the Raiders are a special team. They have had so many great games. This top 10 that you're trying to do is quite an accomplishment and very, very difficult. A lot of franchises, you could take the top 30 games for the Raiders, and it would be in their top 10. The Raiders have that many outstanding games. But this game against the Patriots, you're right. What happens if they lose that game? And the Patriots just seem to have their number. As somebody pointed out already, they are the only loss that the Raiders had that year. They were 13-1 The only loss was to New England in New England. But if you think about that season, the Raiders had a five-game road trip. Think about that. That would never happen today. A five-game road trip. That New England game was right smack dab in the middle, the third game of that trip, and they got trounced by the Patriots. So they were looking for payback. And the Patriots, to their credit, had them going. But a lot of people don't remember that eight-yard loss that the Raiders had on that play before the Sugar Bowl Hamilton. I think it was that play. There was a questionable non-call on a pass interference against Cliff Branch. And the Raider fans were up in arms about that. And then a lot of people are thinking that that was the makeup call, that Sugar Bowl Hamilton, because he did hit him in the face mask, but it's like the plays today where it was just barely grazing. Mm-hmm. You know, it could have been a non-call, but thankfully it was called and the Raiders moved on. But that was just an amazing, outstanding contest. And I think that if you think about it, you know, where would the Raiders have gone? Because they weren't really getting a lot of respect. They were 13-1. They had the best record in the conference. Stabler had the most passing touchdowns among quarterbacks. He had the highest completion percentage rate, and he was only second team All Pro. So they're still not getting their due there. But I love this game. I love the call of it. It's too bad that it's an honorable mention because it could be top 10. But it's just fantastic. And you're right. It led to the first championship game ever, so it has to be mentioned.
Yes,
so
thank you, my friend. And again, I appreciate you understanding how difficult this is for us. We are not doctors. We're not here to try to save lives. We're not police officers. We're just trying to put together an interactive radio show on the top great moments in Raider history in these games. We gave you three today. Bobby gave you the voices of Al Michaels, Kurt Gowdy, Don Meredith, John Madden. I mean, this is cool stuff, and it's going to be good for us to have down the road when we need it on certain days. We'll wrap it up. Q's coming up next. He's got a big show, as always, lined up for you. The summer begins with our countdown of the greatest 10 games in silver and black history.
They've caught 1,000 passes, and two of them are there right now.
A third down and 10. We're going to go to one of those guys. Yes, he will, to Jerry Rice for a touchdown.
Here's Jerry Rice, and you see him started in the end. He's going to run an end right there. And again, we talk about putting the ball on a guy. Rich Cannon put that ball on Jerry Rice perfectly. And look at Tim Brown's reaction. I got my 1,000. Jerry Rice got his touchdown.
All right, that was cool. John Madden on the call. And I'm excited to play some of the John Madden sound. And Bobby had Kurt Gowdy today and Al Michaels as we get you ready for the rest of the summer here, our summer series programming, the Raiders' greatest 10 games of all time. Sugar Bear Hamilton came in. I had it when my little committee that I worked with on this, I had that at like number 9 or number 10. I wasn't overruled, but thinking about the significance of some of these games that we're going to put in the top 10, I think that, you know, that they're going to be important games. I'll give you a hint of one of the games that's an honorable mention or in the top 10. The Raiders' victory over the Chargers at Allegiant Stadium that knocked the Chargers out of the playoffs. Well, the Raiders ended up going to the playoffs, but they didn't win, right? That's when we lost to Cincinnati. And, don't get me going in that game. First and goal at the 9. And it should have been 4 passes to Darren Waller. 4 passes in the end zone to Darren Waller. Don't get me going there. But that's a game that, is that Raider game at Allegiant more important than the Sugar Bear Hamilton game? Probably not, but it was a bigger game and more entertaining. So we also wanted to get in some modern day games. And I didn't want to sit here and do the top 10 greatest games of all time, and they're all between 72 and 77. You know, it's hard enough to get people to listen, let alone when they weren't born. You know, a lot of people weren't born when those games were played. So we kind of sprinkled in some of the new games that are out there. So we're excited about that. There will be a Vegas game, most likely Oakland games in there, and obviously the Super Bowl games. Thanks, Bobby. Today was a grind. Normally it isn't. Today was a grind, but we did what we had to do. We got through this and hammered through it. USA basketball in town. I'll be at Summer League a bunch. That Friday game against the Lakers is going to be good. Then the Saturday schedule looks awesome. Hopefully we'll see you out there if you're going to go there. And we got a lot happening next week, too. The summer is here. Keep it here to the flagship of the Silver and Black, Raider Nation Radio. And if you haven't checked out the all-new app and everything we're doing online, lvsportsnetwork.com. It's been a long day. It's going to get longer tonight. Good update tomorrow. Talk to everybody tomorrow. Listen to Q, as always. He's coming up next. Have a great day, everybody.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.